The sermon title for today is A Great Way Off. The true story, Beautiful Boy, journeys through the experience of a father and son in the midst of drug addiction. The father, David, and son, Nick, had an inseparable relationship, enjoying nature, music, and art together, until crystal meth was introduced to Nick as a teenager. His drug use had started with marijuana at only age 11, and at 18, he tried crystal meth. Nick became addicted, and the drug slowly overtook his life. David was devastated and tried everything he could to help his son, from rehab centers to spending endless nights searching the streets for his lost boy. There was no length this father wouldn't go to rescue his son. There were times of sobriety, but Nick would again relapse, leaving his family, so recently hopeful, in mourning. The counselors assured them that relapse was a part of recovery, yet how hard the journey was. In anguish, the father longed for Nick to return to himself, his beautiful boy. Through much hardship and loss, after reaching absolute rock bottom, Nick truly returned. He found his way back, ever so thankful for his father's never-faltering love and acceptance. 10+ years later, Nick remained sober from all addictive substances, including alcohol, sharing that even alcohol would cause what he describes as a demon overtake him to where he could not stop. Father and son recall their continued phrase they have told one another from Nick's childhood and repeat to this day. And I just love this. It's really beautiful. They would say to one another, "I love you more than everything." Those words did not cease during Nick's most difficult times, giving us this touching story of acceptance despite failure and the enduring love of a father. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for your love. We want to know more of your love. We want to know more of your acceptance and more of your care for each one of us. I pray that as we are here today, Lord, our minds will be free from all extra thought, and we will be able to hear this special message you have intended for each one of us that will tell us more of how you desire each one of us to be your child and receive the love that you have for us. I pray, Lord, today that you would be with me as I give this message. I'm just a broken vessel, Lord, but I'm grateful that you have put me in this place where I can share these words that you want us to hear today. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles there, we can turn to Luke 15, verses 11 to 24. So that's Luke 15, and we're going to read the story of the lost son, the parable of the lost son that Jesus told. So I'll give you a minute to turn there. I already have it here in my Bible. Luke 15, verses 11 to 24. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" How similar is this story to the story we just heard of Nick and his father David? And I too myself can relate to this story. I was once that lost daughter and needing to find my way back to my father. I had lived my life, living for everyday pleasures and, almost wasting my life away with things that were damaging my life and those around me as well. And I got tired eventually, and I decided that I would return to my father as well. And even then, the Lord was working on my heart because those thoughts wouldn't have been in my mind if it wasn't for him and his grace. So the Lord was calling me back to himself. What I knew and learned of his love and forgiveness, that won my heart. I asked him to show me that he truly cared for me and that he accepted me as his child. So I turned in my Bible to, well, actually, I didn't turn to my Bible, but I asked him to show me that he really cared about me. And I don't know if any of you have done this before, but you just take your Bible and you open it and you point your finger to the verse, and that's the one the Lord wants to say something to you from. That usually doesn't work, but in this particular circumstance, I think it hit spot on. And the verse that the Lord led me to was Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bible, you can turn to that with me. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. And it says here, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, am your Savior." And so when I heard those words, especially, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Those are the ones that probably stood out to me the most, even though the whole chapter was beautiful. The Lord then had my heart, and I knew that he truly cared about me, that he truly loved me, and he spoke to me through those words. And truly, no one had ever loved me that way before, the way that the Lord loves us. You know, other people may forsake us. They may turn their back on us. They may do things that hurt us, but the Lord is always there, so gentle, loving, and compassionate. And his love is just so strong, and it's what we call an agape love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that never fails, and that's the Father's love. This was an act of love from the Lord. I knew that I would forever be his child. Of course, the enemy has tried ever since to convince me to leave my father, but I am reminded of my life before returning. I'm reminded of his promise to care for me and my future. I'm reminded that he promised me that I am his. And now I have a few slides that we're going to read to, so we'll start the slideshow for that. So these are some words that Ellen White gives us from Christ Object Lessons, and this is on the story of the prodigal son. "The love of God still yearns over the one who has chosen to separate from him, and he sets in operation influences to bring him back to the Father's house. The prodigal son, in his wretchedness, came to himself. The deceptive power that Satan had exercised over him was broken. He saw that his suffering was the result of his own folly, and he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father.' Miserable as he was, the prodigal found hope in the conviction of his father's love. It was that love which was drawing him toward home. So it is the assurance of God's love that constrains the sinner to return to God. 'The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance,' Romans 2:4. A golden chain, the mercy and compassion of divine love, is passed around every imperiled soul. The Lord declares, 'I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee,' Jeremiah 31. Little did the thoughtless youth, as he went out from his father's gate," that's the next slide, "dream of the ache and longing left in that father's heart. When he danced and feasted with his wild companions, little did he think of the shadow that had fallen on his home. And now, as with weary and painful steps he pursues the homeward way, he knows not that one is watching for his return. But while he is yet a great way off, the father discerns his form. Love is of quick sight. Not even the degradation of the years of sin can conceal the son from the father's eyes. He had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and in a long, clinging, tender embrace." And we can think of our Father, in, as we read through these slides, in that way towards us. That's how he thinks of each one of us. Next slide. In his restless youth, the prodigal looked upon his father as stern and severe. How different his conception of him now. So those who are deceived by Satan look upon God as hard and exacting. They regard him as watching to denounce and condemn, as unwilling to receive the sinner so long as there is a legal excuse for not helping him. His law they regard as a restriction upon men's happiness, a burdensome yoke from which they are glad to escape. But he whose eyes have been opened by the love of Christ will behold God as full of compassion. He does not appear as tyrannical, relentless being, but as a father longing to embrace his repenting son. The sinner will exclaim with the psalmist, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, Psalms 103:13. In the parable, there is no taunting, no casting to the prodigal of his evil course. The son feels that the past is forgiven and forgotten, blotted out forever. And so God says to the sinner, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins, Isaiah 44:22. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more, Jeremiah 31:34. Isn't it amazing the path that the Lord has made for each one of us? That he loves us so much that no matter what we can do, he will take that away through what he has given us through Jesus Christ. And next slide. Do not listen to the enemy's suggestion to stay away from Christ until you have made yourself better, until you are good enough to come to God. If you wait until then, you will never come. When Satan points to your filthy garments, repeat the promise of Jesus, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, John 6:37. And that's been such an important promise to me, to know that I can repeat that and say, when the enemy tempts me, the Lord says, if I come to him, he's not going to turn me away. So I'm going to keep coming because the Lord loves me and we don't have to wait till we're good enough. That's Jesus' work he's going to do in us once we come to him. Tell the enemy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your own. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Arise and go to your father. He will meet you a great way off. If you take even one step toward him in repentance, he will hasten to enfold you in his arms of infinite love. His ear is open to the cry of the contrite soul. The very first reaching out of the heart after God is known to him. Never a prayer is offered, however faltering. Never a tear is shed, however secret. Never a sincere desire after God is cherished, however feeble, but that the Spirit of God goes forth to meet it. And I love this line. Even before the prayer is uttered or the yearning of the heart made known, grace from Christ goes forth to meet the grace that is working upon the human soul. And I would say that was my experience even before I said to the Lord, you know, I want you in my life and all these things. So I could see the way the Lord led me to come back to him and his goodness was working on my life even before I uttered the prayer, Lord, help me. But there's also another son to consider in our story, and I think you'll be familiar with him as I read through some of these words. Another son who chose to leave his father. Another son chose to depart from the splendor of his home to travel to a far country. Another son chose to live among sinners. Another son grieved in uncertainty, not knowing if he would be accepted by his father. And yes, Jesus is the son who chose this path in righteousness, and he did this out of love for you and me. He chose to take this path to this little earth, this little spot in all of the universe. He chose to come out of his love for you and me. So next slide. Satan in heaven had hated Christ for his position in the courts of God. And these words are from the book Desire of Ages. And this is some insight into Christ's experience here on this earth. He hated him more when he himself was dethroned. He hated him who pledged himself to redeem a race of sinners. Yet into the world where Satan claimed dominion, God permitted his son to come. A helpless babe, subject to the weakness of humanity, he permitted him to meet life's peril in common with every human soul, to fight the battle as every child of humanity must fight it, at the risk of failure and eternal loss. The heart of the human father yearns over his son. He looks into the face of his little child and trembles at the thought of his life's peril. He longs to shield his dear one from Satan's power, to hold him back from temptation and conflict. To meet a bitterer conflict and a more fearful risk, God gave his only begotten Son that the path of life might be made sure for our little ones. Hear in his love, wonder, O heavens, and be astonished, O earth. And isn't that so? If, like each of us who have children, we know that we would do anything for our children, and we can think about the things that they have to face in the days to come in their life and wonder, you know, how will they make it through? We're in the midst of a pandemic. Will they make it through, and all the other trials that life can bring? But in that same way, and even to a greater extent, the Lord has given us Jesus, our Father in heaven, has allowed his Son to pass into this world and go through the same experiences that we face, just so that that path of life can be made straight and the way can be made for our children. And I think that is an amazing love. Next slide. All his life, Christ had been publishing to a fallen world the good news of the Father's mercy and pardoning love. Salvation for the chief of sinners was his theme. But now, with the terrible weight of guilt he bears, he cannot see the Father's reconciling face. The withdrawal of divine countenance from the Savior in his hour of supreme anguish pierced his heart with a sorrow that can never be fully understood by man. So great was his agony that his physical pain was hardly felt. Satan, with his fierce temptations, wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present him his coming forth from the grave a conqueror, or tell him of the Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. So even when Jesus made this choice to come amongst us and to die on the cross for us, he could not see the beginning from the end. If what he had done when he was there on the cross, bearing that weight, the sins of the world, he could not see if his sacrifice would actually be accepted by his Father. So he too wondered, like the prodigal son and like others who have strayed away from the ones who love them, will I be accepted upon my return? Will that love still be there for me? And Jesus experienced that just as some of us now experience it in this life. Next slide. Amid the awful darkness, apparently forsaken of God, Christ had drained the last dregs in the cup of human woe. In those dreadful hours, he had relied upon the evidence of his Father's acceptance, heretofore given him. He was acquainted with the character of his Father. He understood his justice, his mercy, and his great love. By faith, he rested in him who had it had ever been his joy to obey. And as in submission he committed himself to God, the sense of the loss of his Father's favor was withdrawn. By faith, Christ was the victor. So Jesus saw that his Father had loved him so compassionately and so completely and so unconditionally and in every way through his journey of life. And it was that love of his Father that brought him through that time on the cross. He looked back at how good his Father had been to him. And we too can have that same experience with the Lord, trusting in our Father's acceptance because of what Christ has done for us. And next slide, please. All heaven desires that we too will trust in our Father's mercy, love, and acceptance. No matter what we may face, what we have done or ever will do, by faith in our Father's care thus far, we can be victorious through Jesus Christ. And this photo that you see here should be one of the Milky Way galaxy, and it points to a little speck. And guess who that little speck is? That's us. That little speck is us. That little speck is Earth. So we can see how tiny we really are in the vast, and this is just one galaxy, but we're going to skip to the next photo there now. And so this photo here is an image that the Hubble Space Telescope took in, Hubble spacecraft. It pointed on one dark spot in space, And it said, well, the scientist said, we will study this one spot for a few months and see what pictures and images come back. They thought it was just a dark blot in space as far as they could see. But once the images came back, they saw that each little speck just on this one little dot that was studied was an actual entire galaxy. And each galaxy contains up to 1 trillion stars, and we know how big stars are. Each star may actually have a system of planets. And so this one little dark blot that was thought to be nothing actually turned out to be much greater than what was thought. And so we can see in the vast of the universe that God has created just how much more there really is and how truly small we are, but yet not significant, that the Lord counted us so important to him that he came to this earth for us. This little speck in the vast universe, Jesus came to save so we could have acceptance before our Father and be received when we come home. Next slide. The work of redemption will be complete. In the place where sin abounded, God's grace much more abounds. The earth itself, the very field that Satan claims as his, is to not only be ransomed but exalted. Our little world under the curse of sin, the one dark blot in his glorious creation, will be honored above all other worlds in the universe of God. Here, where the Son of God tabernacled in humanity, where the King of glory lived and suffered and died, here, when he shall make all things new, the tabernacle of God shall be with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And through the endless ages, as the redeemed walk in the light of the Lord, they will praise him for his unspeakable gift, Emmanuel, God with us. And so the Lord came. He counted us worthy. He loved us with an everlasting love. And he desires that each one of us will be with him in his kingdom someday. Though a great way off, our Father sees us, and all heaven will rejoice with him when we arrive, never more to part. He is eagerly waiting for that homecoming day and yearns for each one of us to be there. Daily, we must trust in our Father's love and acceptance, receiving his promises towards us. Do not let the world or the evil in it cause you to draw back or be discouraged. What would we have without the Lord and his love? There's nowhere to go but forward, trusting by faith that our God will see us through. He accepts you and loves you more than everything. More than everything. You are his beautiful child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to know today how much you truly love us. We're so thankful to know that we are accepted, we are loved, and we are forgiven. We're so thankful that you have thought us so special and precious in your sight, that you had your precious child come to this earth. And Jesus, you chose to come, to be amongst us, to be born as a babe in a manger, and to lay down your life for us as a man. And Lord, you have given us all. We have nowhere to go but forward, trusting in you. What are we returning to if we go back? A world and a life of darkness and pain and suffering? Lord, we want to go forward. We know we make mistakes. We know we falter at times. We know we turn away at times. But Lord, we also know of your acceptance and your care for us, and that you will forgive us, and that you have made the path sure for us and for our children, because you have given your life for each and every mistake we will ever make, so that there is never a reason to keep us from coming back to you. Lord, keep us in your care now this Sabbath and Christmas day, and bless each person here, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.